I think we're ready.
Good.
And five, four.
Welcome to Get Moving TV. I'm Dr. Chris Landon. I serve as your host. Here in Ventura, I belong to something called the Sum of All Music. Everybody needs a COVID hobby, and these guys are very tolerant of me. But it gives me the opportunity to have people out to my house who actually can play music and understand it. Let me meet Fola, our guest today, and his lovely wife as well, and we'll talk about that. So, Fola, we've been talking ahead of time, just kind of about the arc of life and careers. Mm-hmm. And so where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school? And what got you going into knowing me at the Sum of All Music there?
Okay. So I'll start. I was born in New York, Queens, New York, and my parents are from Nigeria. So, you know, just growing up in New York for a little bit, and then, you know, we kind of moved out to Long Island. And then, I mean, to make a shorter version of the story.
Mm-hmm.
I got really good at the sport basketball. Went to college out in New York. We won a championship. Then I tried to transfer to UCLA in Los Angeles. Then, went undrafted in the NBA, still working towards getting there. And then COVID hit. And then, my accident happened. So I had an accident during the time I was going to transfer to UCLA. And, I was invited to watch the LA Clippers play, practice. At this time, they had Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, the whole Lob City.
Yeah.
Really phenomenal, fantastic time. So on my way back, I didn't work out that day, so I don't know why I was tired or anything. Came down, coming from Irvine, on the highway, fell asleep at the steering wheel, and the front tire exploded, right? So it was like an out-of-body experience, right? So I see my body kind of levitating out the car as I'm looking down into it, and I'm like, whoa, you know, I'm going into the sky. Then I hear a voice, it's like, you know it's God. He's like, no, you have more to do on earth, right? So now I see my body descending back into the car, right, the front shield. And that's when I knew I couldn't just be a basketball player. I had to incorporate my musical elements too, because back in New York, everyone knew me from Monday through Saturday, I was in the gym. But on Sunday, I was playing the drums at church, you know, and only my dad knew, my two best friends knew back in New York. But I knew I had to do both. Try to do both simultaneously at the highest level. And I'm like, I'm not a rapper, not really a good singer, but what I am good at it is the elements of music. You know, I can tell when a song is a hit. My father used to always play Fela Kuti, doo-wop music, Quincy Jones, 50s, 60s, 70s, all old school. So I had a whole old soul. And my friends would thought I was weird because I wouldn't listen to the newer songs. But as you can see, we know what the real music is. But anyways, long story short, that was the day I decided to be both a composer. I ended up making a composition called October Vendemian Orchestra, which I, like 2 months ago, I re-performed it and had an orchestra re-perform my first ever composition. Uploaded it within 24 hours. It got 6,000 plays, and the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, they gave it some Twitter praise unexpectedly, and I was like, hey, I've arrived. And then the next gig I did was I did a short film that aired in the Chinese theater, the famous Chinese theater in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. TCL, and then like I said, COVID hit. And then I found myself in a composer group, and that's how I met you. And since then, it's been a great spirit in connecting with you, because it's been phenomenal.
Well, that's all good. Well, okay, basketball player to composer. Mm-hmm. Now you and I were talking a little bit about Other hobbies. I mean, I take up beekeeping. And I'm building a hothouse. Sure, and I'm planting lavender, and I'd like to paint. And mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to find a company up in Canada to turn one of my paintings into a kimono.
Brilliant.
And then
paintings.
You go, oh, of course, I have a clothing line too. Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us about the clothing line. What's that basketball? Throwing some clothing line.
So the clothing inspiration, it came about, well, like coming from a Nigerian descent, the way my father would normally have me dress, he would always tell me about your appearance, just little things like that, always, you know, be very presentable. So he would buy me tons of suits and blazers. And even in high school, we had like this leadership club where we would be the only kids, even if we're on the basketball team, we're just the only kids that would wear suits to school. And everyone would think it's weird, but the principal knew, like, we're doing this to be leaders, to kind of set an example, and just to kind of hold ourselves to a, you know, a nice smoothness. So I already took an interest in the style and, you know, things like that. So as I got older, the inspiration, obviously, from basketball and music, the elements combining together, people would say, why don't you have a clothing brand? Why don't, you know, your brand, you need, you know, a logo, you need this. And at first, my mindset was very limited at the time. I just saw it as, okay, get a logo. It could potentially be like you might get a Nike shoe one day, you know, hopefully. And it would just be that, just athletic. And I was like, no. Then I started to think like, no, I think it's bigger than that, because it can touch, you know, the music side as well. It can touch other sports. It's more of the behind it, who I am as a person. So then that's when I was like, okay, let me come up with a concept where it's a brand that's not just about clothes and nice, but it has a positive cause behind it. So then I said, okay, what's positive? You know, a lot of things can be positive to people, but okay, what is something that you can really show people that you really love them? And because, you know, at the same time, my accident, I understood very clearly life, tomorrow's not promised. And you got to try to stay in the moment as best as possible. You know, and I said, I wanted people to, like, to have an intimate moment when they're, you know, get the clothes and to have it. So I decided making collections based on biblical teachings, you know, and I felt like, you know, regardless of whatever religion or whatever, where you come from, just those principles and what it teaches is as far as it's all things that gives us good quality life of living, pretty much. It's, yeah.
So how do you express that through clothing?
That's the thing that I battled with for the first 2 years. So I founded the company as a DBA at first in 2018. The name of it at first was going to be FJB, which are my initials. I wanted to go with FJB Inc., but Inc. was was taken for some reason. So my good friend, he was a business owner, a competitor with, have you ever heard of the Power Balance bracelets? Yeah, he had, his name, his company was Iron Me, so he was their direct competitor. And he gave me the idea. He was like, okay, don't go with, since you can't go with FJB Inc., I do think you should still keep your initials, but find another word. And then as I kind of thought about it, some word that's very simple, but it's very motivational, Icon. So I said, okay, let's call that FJB Icon, right? And now when people ask me, like, what does Icon mean to you? It seems very important, like, you know, how you define that. And for me, how Icon to me is initiating Christ's obedience narrowly. So understanding, like, I'm not perfect, but it's a standard that you set for yourself to try to do the right thing as best as you can when you're given a decision, because tomorrow's not promised, right? Now, when it gets to the actual clothing side, right, and It's just different collections. We put it in collections. So for instance, if we have a Boas collection, which is it's modeled after a person who was well respected in the Bible, right? And just we just try to either tell the story or just simple things to as a reminder. Forgive, you know, like forgiveness, you know, forgive as God forgave you. Simple as that, as best as you can. It's hard, but it's a reminder to just try to continue to do the right thing all the time. Yeah.
Well, let me back up. Your dad seems to have been a pretty big influence in your life.
Yeah, he believes in me to the point, like, he'll sacrifice his life for me, in a mm-hmm. sense, yeah.
So was he born in Nigeria? Or
Yes, he was born in Nigeria.
Yeah, we did we worked with the World Health Organization about mm-hmm. With a project in Nigeria around HIV and as it turns out, keeping the oil pipelines made it suddenly very important to the world that HIV is controlled in Nigeria.
Yeah, wow.
My wife, because I was supposed to go there 4 times a year, said, do they have K&R insurance? I go, K&R insurance, that's kidnapping and ransom. It turns out that they had a CIA extraction team. Like, mm-hmm. So did he get out of Nigeria because of?
No, my dad actually, my grandfather, mm-hmm. who I'm actually named after. Mm-hmm. So the full, my name is Fola, that means honorable one in the Yoruba language, but it's short for Folabi, mm-hmm. which means born in wealth. So my grandfather actually was a chief in Nigeria. So my father, he was just like a normal kid. He actually came here when he was 17, just with just different aspirations. His father paid for his school to come out here in New York, and he wanted to, you know, and he was very independent to start his own life, to, I guess, start his own American dream. And my dad, he's been really good. He works in the city of New York still to this day as a social worker. He loves his job, and he's been there for years, and he's doing well for himself. Yeah.
And how come he didn't end up in social work?
I think the sacrifice that he made of mm-hmm. being a social worker, I think it opened my eyes that, you know, I knew I wasn't the person that would can do like a 9 to 5 more so. Mm-hmm. But also too, my dad kind of inspired me where it was more like, if you're going to do something, do it wholeheartedly. And there's times, of course, me and my dad, he's in his best interest, he'll say, you need to be a doctor. And that's a Nigerian parent is going to say anyways, you need to be a doctor, lawyer, engineer. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Yeah, you want to be a basketball player and a composer? Oh, well, you know, think again type thing. But at the same time, it's also that's when the passion comes out. Because now you have to believe in yourself and know, like, look, Dad, look, I'm telling you, I'll probably make more than what you expect me to make, but I know what you're saying. I hear with, you know, the heart that you're saying it in, and because of that, I will honor you and in a way where it's like I will try make sure it does work.
Yeah. Well, as a basketball player, for you, yeah. through all that, you've had probably a number of coaches as well.
Absolutely.
What kinds of things did you learn from the coaches?
I've learned good things and some bad things. So I've had varieties of coaches. I've had coaches who believed in me. I have coaches who doubted me. And I had to learn how to deal with those things. So that was the part where it was hard because my father, although he believed in me, he didn't know anything about basketball. So imagine I can say, like, Dad, you know, coach put me in 5 minutes and he doesn't believe I can shoot 3 out of 4. My dad, it's like foreign to him. He's like, well, that's why I told you to be a doctor, you know. So I would say, though, going into college, I had one coach that really, really believed in me. And I did something that was quite impossible at that time, you know. Coming out of high school, I didn't have that many offers because we were at a small school. So actually, I'll back it up a little bit. So middle school, come in, I'm living with my father, I don't make the 8th grade team. You know, some kid beats me 1-on-1 for a spot on the 8th grade team, middle school team. Crushed my heart that day. I was like, I lost like 7-1. And it broke my heart because I was like, I know I'm better than this. Like, how did I lose to this, you know? And that summer, I worked my butt off. Like, sacrifice, meaning like when everyone went out, I said, no, I'm dribbling the basketball. I'm going to be home, you know, doing anything, you know, just focusing on the game. Came back the next summer, which is high school. So I end up, you know, I made the freshman team. I become a starter, and I started to break records. I even had a game where I went like an all-perfect game, which is like you don't miss no shots, and you score above 20 points, right? I got pulled up to varsity. We won a championship. Little things like that started happening, right? It was such a small school. We didn't get that much exposure. So there's probably one time that the MSG varsity, the media team came down to see me play, right? And I was the player of the game. Luckily, you know, I had a good game, hit a couple of shots. but now going into college, I knew I wanted to be a Division I player. I knew I was good enough. In the summer, when the professionals, NBA players would come down and play, like at a local gym, I would keep my own, you know, hold my own. And these, we're talking about like high level players like Michael Kidd Gilchrist, who was like the number two player in the time. He went to Kentucky. Just Danny Green, who's also played with LeBron and the Cavaliers. He was also from my hometown at that time. And I would hold my own against them. So it really pushed me to know like Division I is where I belong. So coming out of high school, didn't have no offers, not one. You can call it the Steph Curry or the Ja Morant effect, you know. No one's looking at me at all. Of course, I feel terrible, but I also know. So I take a leap of faith, save some money up that summer, and I said, look, if any coach is going to know that I'm a player, it's going to be Coach K. Coach K is the number one coach in college at Duke University. Now, this might sound crazy. This sounds crazy. Even now I'm saying it, I'm like, wow, as a kid, it's like 17, 18, I had some guts, you know? So I literally tell my dad, Dad, I'm going to take a round trip to North Carolina. He's like, what? What are you talking about? I said, look, Coach K knows. He's going to know. The worst thing he can tell me is no. And then I'll know, you know? So now I take the trip. I have a friend that plays Duke lacrosse. I stay with him. He knows the plan. Go there in the first office. Then I realize Coach K is not even there because he's coaching Kobe Bryant and LeBron James at USA Basketball. I'm like, wow, I was so focused on meeting. I didn't even check his schedule that he'll be there. But the funny thing, though, and the amazing thing that came out of it was I end up meeting the next person in line is assistant coach. And he's like, I like your style. You came here with a bow tie. You're serious, you know. And at that time, Jabari Parker, the number one player in the country, was attending Duke. And I said, okay, I'll show you. Let me play in one-on-one. I'll show you. He's like, all right, come on, let's go. As we're going into the gym, now, Duke is an amazing facility, too. I don't know if you've been there, but yeah, it's crazy. Fingerprint, doors, stuff like that, yeah. So we're going into the gym, and Jabari is right there warming up, just me and him in the gym. Now I'm putting on my shoes. I'm taking off my suit, putting on my shoes, basketball gear. And then you hear, no, 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 no. It's illegal, can't do that. An administrator comes down and is like, we can't do this. All right. So long story short, the assistant coach connects me with another coach out in North Carolina called North Carolina Wesleyan, which is a Division III school. He's like, hey, you go here, they're gonna give you some money, you know, scholarship. They'll give you a scholarship. And then, you know, you can see about coming to the team next year. Fair enough. I'm like, yes, close by, perfect idea. I'm all for it. Go there, my freshman year, I'm thinking I'm gonna play. Did not play at all. Well, I played a little bit. You know, there was a kid who was like 5'8", who was a starting point guard over me. And he was a senior. And I had to learn that was a lesson in itself, because that's when I knew that it wasn't just about my physical skill and my physical talents. It was the mental side of the game as well. Understanding how to be a leader, understanding that it's not about you, it's about the team's benefit. So that grew me as a player. And I used that definitely to motivate me. So I let them have it every time in practice. But, but you know, yeah, like real bad. Like I remember his face was red and stuff. It was real bad. I remember, like, now I knew I was for sure a Division I player at that time. So I said, what's my next move? So obviously the next move is to try to walk on to Duke. The GPA comes back. I have a 3.4. I submit it, apply for Duke. They return it back. They say you need a 3.7. So I'm literally 0.3 off from walking onto Duke. Crushed my heart. Shattered me. My dreams, just like that. I was like, I was so close. I did everything. Think about where I was a year ago, and I'm 0.3 off. So I go home, I'm back in New York, depressed, down. My father, he's like, hey, I told you, man, he should have never went. Now you're look at you, you're in bed, you haven't come out your room in 4 or 5 days. You know, should have told you, man. And I'm like, Dad, come on, not right now. You know, I'm really down. Then it's like a week later, I'm still in my room. Like, I only ate from my room. Like, I would order food to come to the room. I wouldn't leave, you know. So then my father goes, you know, look, son, you got to get up. It's 1 week left of the deadlines of colleges. All the deadlines are gone. Why don't you go to Buffalo? You know, your cousins went there. They got a doctorate degree and, you know, stuff like that. I'm like, no, Dad, no. But now I'm looking at the time. I'm like, all right, it really is 2 days for the deadline. Let me take a look at this. Go on Buffalo's website, and I said, let me look at the, somehow I ended up on the athletic page. And I was like, let me see. I see the players. I'm like, oh, we got some decent size. It's really good. 6'8", nice size, decent size. Can work with this. See the coach name. It says Bobby Hurley. And right there, I knew where I was supposed to be at. It's like, so God had a plan. You know, maybe I was not meant to play for Duke, for Coach K, but I was meant to play for Coach K's favorite point guard, because Bobby Hurley, remember, I just came from the Duke campus, so he had won 2 back-to-back national championships with Duke. So I'm looking at this, I'm like, my eyes brighten up. I see the opportunity, right? I'm like, this is it. Of course, I have a 3.4, so I'm going to get into the school. It's not Duke, you know. So I'm like, this is it. So I get out of my room. My dad's like, oh, where's this energy coming from? I'm like, Dad, I'm going to Buffalo, you know. And he goes, he said, what are you going to major in? I go, I just thought of the thing that can make my dad happy and make me happy. So I said, exercise science, which is like sports medicine in a way. So I go to Buffalo, and I already know how the adversity is going to hit. Go there first day. I didn't get to see Hurley the first day, but I seen the assistant coach. So I go there. I'm like, hey, hi, I would like to play basketball for you guys. Of course, he's looking at me like, dude, there's 40,000 kids here. Like, this is a Division I mid-major school. Like, I don't know who you think you are. You coming in here like who, you know. And I'm like, no, can I just go to the tryouts? Let me just go to the tryouts. Like, all right, man, it's in 2 months. And this is the assistant coach, kind of like weighs me off. Cool. So I'm like, all right, let me control what I can control at this point. Continue to work my butt off in the gym. And then one day I'm working out in the gym, and obviously I know the starting guards and starting players on the team, and I'm in the gym and the starting guard comes in, and I'm like using the shooting machine. I'm like, sorry, I didn't mean to hear you. He's like, no, you're fine. Keep shooting. So he's watching me shoot. I'm like, all right, let me not, you know, overstay my welcome. Let me give it back to him. So, he goes, yo, you're pretty legit, man. I'm going to tell Hurley about you. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Don't, don't blow my, you know, it's okay, bro. It's, you don't, I'm not ever going to take it personal if you don't. Thank you. I thank you. It's flattering for the compliment, you know. So, you know, keeps going on probably a month now, you know, find out there was never ever going to be tryouts. But then you would ask in the end of the story, how did you get on the team, right? So, and this is how God works, you know. So it's like one day, so I build a relationship with the starting guard. We start working out together. And one day he leaves. I think he goes to like an event or like maybe a campus party or something. And I'm the only one in the gym. Now imagine I'm in an arena with the lights on. I'm not supposed to have the code. But I have the code, right? I'm not supposed to be in there. The coaches are supposed to be long gone home. Then I hear a noise coming from the outside the darkness going into the light. And I'm like, shoot, he's going to kick me out the gym. And then I can tell how he's walking. I know it's Hurley. I'm like, all right, this is my one chance. This is my one chance. So I'm from the left wing. I do like a in and out move. I dunk the ball real hard. Boom. And I'm like, all right, if he kicks me out there, then he saw something. Then he keeps walking. As he's walking, like 12 feet. I timed it perfect, so like 12 feet. And then he goes, I like how you did that, son. And he keeps walking to his car, to the parking lot. I'm like, whew. I was like, the only thing I could say was, it was like out of a movie. I was like, a lot of practice, coach. 2 days later, I get a call from the guard. He's like, Hurley wants to meet you in his office. Sit down with him. It was like, I couldn't even believe that. I had to pinch myself. I was like, is this even real? You know, dreams do come true. So I'm looking like, you know, and he's like, look, I'm not going to promise you anything, but I'm going to give you an opportunity. And that's all I needed.
Fuller, we didn't even get to your music. And so Ventura? Practice, and the opportunity will come. Time for you to get moving.